Thank you for coming today. I'm amazed that it's full. Chapel is full. Thank you for coming to hear what God is doing in other countries. And as you know, as Wendy said, I'm from Turkey. I was born and grew up in Istanbul, Turkey. And English is my second language. I hope and pray that it's going to be clear today. And mostly, I pray that God will use it for all of us in our lives. And I was, as I said, I was born in Turkey, Istanbul, and I'm Muslim background. And I came to Christ. I became a believer in 2000, actually in the States, in Florida. But a year before, when I was young, actually, when I was very young, I was like, I really wanted to have a good relationship with Allah, with God. And I always try to memorize the verses in Quran in Arabic and pray the prayer, like five times prayer, and practice Islam and fast. And my parents didn't do that. My sister didn't do that. But I enjoy doing it. And when I came to the high school ages, I mean, my practice slowed down. And I was busy with school and other things and friendship. And for many years, it's been like that. I didn't practice very often. But then later, in 1999, I realized I felt a big hunger for God, for the truth, and for the close relationship with God. And I thought, like, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to read Quran. But this time was different. This time I read it in Turkish for the first time in my language, and which I can understand. Before, I memorized so many verses, but I didn't understand the meaning of it. I was just doing it, but still enjoyed. I don't know. This was the only way that I can do it. Anyway, when I read it in 1999 in Turkish, I was very disappointed. I was shocked. I couldn't even finish the whole book. I said, no, this cannot be it. I couldn't believe it. And then I didn't know what else to do. I never seen any Christian. I never seen any Bible. Never went to church or other things. And when I was trying, what else could be other than Islam? And I couldn't find anything. I just prayed for a whole year. I just cried out every day. I cried and cried, and I said, God, you have to show me the way. You created me, okay? I was kind of daring to him, but I was helpless. And I said, at the end of the year, I came up with three questions. My first question was, how am I going to go to heaven? Because I really want to, I know that I have to do something here on this world to be able to go to heaven. And as my second question was, how am I going to be a new person? I don't know. That was my desire. I wanted to be a new person. And my third question was, how can I have peace no matter what happens around me? Because we know on this world, life is always up and down. And anyway, and then that year was like that. And there was no answer from God. There was no solution. But God was working in my heart and for my good. And then in 2000, I came to States to practice English. And I had a friend there too, Turkish friend, who became Christian 2 years before I went there earlier. And I went to church with her. Still wasn't thinking about Christianity could be the way for me. I went to church to practice my English. I thought it's going to be good for me. And so anyway, a few weeks later, I met a lady, and she answered my questions from Bible. And then I was totally convinced. I didn't know anything about Jesus, but in my heart, I was convinced. I said, I'm going to try Jesus. And even though I hardly knew anything about Jesus, 2 months after I went to Florida, I said, okay, I'm going to try Jesus. And I prayed a prayer. I accepted him as my savior. Then I started reading my Bible for hours every day and went to church. And I was suspicious at the beginning. I said, okay, I'm going to find something and we'll get disappointed again. And in my heart, and then as soon as I said, oh, okay, there's something wrong here. And about God convinced me again, show me. And that whole year was in tears, in either out of joy or out of repentance. And then second year, I went to Bible college there in Florida, and then God put a big burden in my heart to go back to Turkey and share my faith with my family and friends. And I joined one of the church, Turkish churches there, church there about 3 years, and then I decided to go to another one. There I met my husband, Tim. He came as a worker, as a missionary, and 1.5 years later we got married, and we went to move to Southeast Turkey. About 3 years we hopped church there, and then we went back to Istanbul, and we started a youth ministry. When I said youth ministry, it's college age and up to 30 years old. So we were youth leaders for 6 years, and then we handed over to local people, and my husband Tim stepped into the team leader, church leadership team. And I also served as women ministry. I led the women ministry and Bible studies in the last 3 years as well. And I'm going to show you some pictures from PowerPoint. I hope it's going to work. Okay. Okay, it's right there. Right. Okay. Turkey's population is 82 million people or more. I don't know, that's, they say 82 million. The median age in Turkey is 30 years old, and actually the population is 98 or 99 is Muslims. And the median age is 30 years old. It's very young population. And I'm going to show you some, I'll give you some tour of pictures from different cities of Turkey. So just you can have an idea. This is Antalya, where Paul first landed in Asia Minor. I don't know if everybody knows, but 7 churches in Revelation are in all in Turkey. So this is Pergamum. This is in one of the villages. This is a typical cafe for retired men. They chat and they drink tea and play games and sit there for all day. And this is open market. We have in every city, in every neighborhood, we have one. And once a week, not every day. So we do all our shopping from the open. I mean, you can go to the grocery stores always, but open markets are always more fresh and cheaper. And it's fun. Fishing is important in Turkey too. Many people do fishing, and some ladies in the villages make their breads and dry up these ladies on the bottom picture. They're sorting the apricots, and you know, most dry apricots you eat here actually from Turkey. And this is Maiden Tower in Istanbul. This is a bakery, type of bakery that we have in Saudis actually. They make this type of bread, and street singers are popular last few years in big cities. This is in Istanbul. And corn, summertime, people sell corn to eat outside on the street. And this is our national drink, tea, with a special little cup. And this is from Southeast Turkey that we serve in Diyarbakir. Actually, the street is the church where we help is at the end of the street, on the street. This is one of the girls that just live there on that street. This is from Diyarbakir too. In Diyarbakir, in Saudi, people are mostly Kurdish, not Turkish, and they all know how to speak in Kurdish as well. But in school, they're all speaking Turkish. This is from Saudi too. Dry peppers and eggplants getting ready for winter. And this is from the, this picture is from Southeast Youth Conference that they hold once a year. And this is the church actually we served for 3 years after we got married. And this is the youth conference. Tim was speaker last year, so we had chance to see them again. We had privilege to see them again. And this is also Southeast Turkey. And we're coming to Istanbul. Istanbul is at least 60 million people. That's we put here, but you can say 18 million people because there's many unregistered people, many visitors and refugees, unregistered refugees from mostly from Syria, and but also from Africa and from all over the places. And but mostly recently, last few years, most refugees are Syrians, and it's a very crowded city. I'm going to show a little, just 1 minute video, so you can see Istanbul. Okay, I cannot minimize here. Let me see. Can you do it from back there? Sorry, it's work here. Istanbul? Okay, you can turn down the volume because it's a very loud city. So you don't have to hear all the honking and shouting. Okay. So, I was born there, but you know, just as I'm getting older, it started becoming a very overwhelming city for me too. It's very, very crowded, and there's no open area. So, but yeah, but God is good. I can just keep going until it's ready. Yeah, some of our, are you ready? Okay.
Waiting to get open, and that was just one of them.
This is our street. Last 5 years, it was our street. Yep, that's Istanbul, and mostly our neighborhood. And some of our involvements for last 9 years in Istanbul was mostly at church. And at church, that was our main ministry beside other ministries. And at church, our focus was discipleship, and as well as catching visitors. We had, maybe it's not, I mean, like that here, but in Istanbul or in Turkey, actually, we have visitors every week, every Sunday at our meetings. Like they're out of curiosity or they have been invited with a believer. And so we were trying to share the phones with them right away and follow up on them and meet them and have relationship and have more time to share with them. And most of the people who come to Christ are between 17 and 35 years old, and mostly young people. And also, most of them are singles, but some of them are some of the young couples or young families come to Christ too as well. And besides discipling them, that was the main focus that in my heart and my husband's heart, just disciple people, catch them right away and hold on to them, because it's very easy for people to be curious about it and come to Christ and start like thinking about becoming a believer, but there's so much social pressure. They might easily and go back and fall back. So we always try to share the phones right away if there's an interested person, and then meet them and share a lot with them. And besides discipling them, we were also open to meet their non-believing families and friends and co-workers, whoever they want us to meet. And we were always open to that, because believers are usually the only ones in their extended family and workplace and in their community. They're the only ones. So it's hard for them to explain everything as a new believer. So they want us to meet them, and we share the gospel, we build relationship with them. So that way, actually, we evangelize to many, many people, to new believers. And so many other people have been invited also to other meetings and activities, and so heard the gospel. And some of the families that we met them, most of them were open to gospel, open to hearing, but some of them some of them were threatening us when their young adult child didn't give up on Jesus. So there's been always like challenges, and but it's been good. We had so many people to share the gospel. And when a Turkish person comes, as I said, they're the only ones in their community, and they're just like babies, like I was actually when I came to Christ. I said, okay, I'm gonna accept him as my savior, but I hardly knew anything about Jesus. I didn't know anything about Bible, any story, anything, any word. So all the Turkish believers are almost in the same position. They hardly knew anything. Either they had a dream and started searching, or they were tired of Islam, they started searching. So once they come and wants to believe in Jesus, but they don't know anything. They're just like a baby, as I said. So they start reading Bible, but it's still very hard for them to make connection with the daily life, as they're trying to learn from Bible. Is even sometimes it takes time, you know, to put it into practice in daily life, the Bible and God the way. So discipleship is not only studying Bible with them. That would have been very easy, but just walking with them and then try to listen there, what's going on in their life and what's their baggage bringing from the bags. We try to counsel them and disciple them and try to navigate them with God's words, actually. And it takes a long time. It doesn't take just a few months. It takes a long time until they get on their feet, just like a baby, right? We carry them until 1 year old at least, and until they start walking, and then we watch them falling down, and then okay, just stand up right now without help so you can learn. It's just like this, and discipleship is like this too. We walk with them and we carry them, and it takes so much effort and time, as we all know, as mothers and women, and even we're not mothers, like we know it. And so it takes a lot of effort, and then that's why we chose to live actually in the heart of city, as you saw on the video. And so we wanted to be close to our church, and we want other people to come, be able to come to our house anytime they need it, anytime they want it, other than us meeting them regularly whenever they need it. It was just 24/7 ministry, and it's been overwhelming time to time. But and I At some point, a few times, I thought about it, like, am I doing something wrong? Like, it's just so overwhelming. Like, I was alone, like, I'm just pouring out my time. Am I doing wrong? But when I look back, or when I see the fruit, they grew up and they're maturing, and then they start helping others, I found my joy, and I said, okay, even though I feel sometimes discouraged, I feel tired, I'm going to keep doing it because I see the fruit, and by God's grace. And so it wasn't me, I did it. I just took my part. It's all God. We can... When we decided to go back to Southeast after we got married, this is the worst part of the Turkey that people really don't like, Diyarbakir Southeast. My dad was just crying when he heard about that. And he said, are you going to make people Christian? I said, Dan, how can I make people Christian? Like, how can you change their heart by speaking? I mean, you cannot do it. Only God can do it, really. So we take only our parts, but I mean, God do it. It's only God, really. Doesn't matter how much we pour our time and how much we talk to them, only God can change lives. But it's a privilege. If He's using us, it's a privilege. As I said, they're like the babies. I mean, it's been time to time, it's overwhelming. But then we all know that it's very important for babies to be available whenever they need you. We cannot say, okay, cry, but I'll take care of you tomorrow. We cannot say that. We need to be there right away, right? So new believers are like that too. So we need to be there right away. And as I said, I'm so glad that not everyone that we pour our time, but there are enough people who get mature enough, and then they take their parts and they start serving other people, other new believers, and they're taking their part in the church as well. So I'm going to talk about the Bible Correspondence Course shortly, a little bit later, and then youth ministry, but I'm going to jump over to... This is our church building last 9 years in Istanbul. And then there's a little video from church too for 1 minute, so I can show you, and so you can, it will make more sense. Was from the started holding a special event for young people at Christmas, so they came and we sang, and also we did some activities and games, so that way we were able to share with many non-believing people. Hey, and this is Daria. I want to show you just a few faces to encourage you. This is Daria. She came to Christ, I believe, 8 years ago, about 8 years ago. And her husband is still not a believer. And he banned her to come into church 2-3 years ago. And So he told her, like, you're not going to see any believers, you're not going to go to church. She closed her all social media accounts and changed her number and everything. Like, we couldn't just reach her. And we could, I mean, then she got a new number and she texted me, okay, this is my number, you can text me. But I said, okay, after you texted me, just please raise it, okay? So make sure, I mean, I was trying to make sure that she's not going to be in trouble with her husband. He was just actually, he wasn't against the Christianity, but he was so afraid of government that they're going to, he was thinking that they're going to put her in jail. He was saying, like, foreigners might go, I mean, go out of to their countries, but Turkish people will be in jail. So anyway, but then this picture has been taken later, months later, he gave her permission to see me. And then this, I took this picture just to encourage our ladies. Okay, she was able to come. So anyway, and then these lovely young ladies that I spent so much time last few years, I love them so much. And this guy is a present youth leader right now, and Tim poured his time to him, and he's a very mature believer, and he will get married actually this summer. We're so thankful for that. And he has a very, I mean, dysfunctional family, and now they're non-believers, and they're in, his brothers are in drugs and had very bad marriages. And he's been taking care of them financially too, the whole family for years. So I'm glad that he's going to be out of it, hopefully, after he got married. So this is Gözde on the left. And I had privilege to spend lots of time with her too. And that's her mom next to her and her brother. They have amazing testimony. I wish I had time to tell you about that. And she became a very, even though like she struggled a lot in her Christian life, that last 3 years she became a very, very mature 4 years, a young lady, and then she's serving others a lot right now. And this is from one of the house meetings that we hold every 2 weeks. And this is her house, actually, looking back in black shirt, and her husband was taking picture. They had, they're a good believer, they're good believers, but they have many marriage struggles as well. By God's grace and wisdom, we were able to walk with them through this season. Now I'm so happy, and God just bring them out of it, and they're serving God in many ways right now. These are a few pictures from the TV programs that I made, like maybe 8 TV programs, like this speaking here. I was afraid, like, it's not, even though I teach and do things in Turkey, they're in Turkish, but it's hard for me to be like in front of the crowd. I'm okay one-on-one or a few group, like little group. But anyway, this TV program, this lady called me as she wanted to make program. I said, no, it's not for me. And she said, pray. Okay, I will pray. And she called me again. Did you pray? I said, I prayed, but it's no. Okay, I'm not going to do it. And she called me again. She said, I think you can do it. I'm like, okay. And then she called me again. I said, okay, I give up. Okay, I'm going to try. And I said, just one time. Okay. And it wasn't live. Do you say live? 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 So it wasn't live. I said, okay, at least. So I did it for a couple, and then after that she said, oh, it was very good. So many people called, and okay, let's do it again. I said, okay. And then third one and fourth one, and she didn't tell me the fourth one was going to be live. Until I got there, it was live. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, until 2 days before. Like, are you serious? I mean, I cannot do that, but it was too late. They couldn't change. We couldn't change it. Anyway, but then we did 8 programs by God's grace. I mean, I was just, even though sometimes it's hard for us, it's good for us to come out of the comfort zone, like not everything that has to be very enjoyable or very good and relaxed. And I just gave it to God. Okay, God, everything is in your hand. I'm not good at it, but just whatever it comes, just you use it. So, I mean, I hope and pray that God used it and will use it. Bible Correspondence Course has been very active so many years, actually, since, I don't know, like about 60s, they started very little, some missionaries started. And back then, of course, there was no Christians, maybe one or two or three at the most. And then there were, they handed out brochures like at the doors, and then it didn't take a long time for police to find out, and just they kicked them out of the country. But then that's how it started, actually. And Bible Correspondence Course, it's not, I didn't know there's something like here, Emmaus Bible Correspondence Course. So my husband, I don't know how it goes, but my husband said it's not the same thing. So this is more evangelical. They put advertisement on the newspaper. They used to do it on the newspaper, so that way they were able to reach all the villagers, village people, and also prisoners. And so many people ask for free Bible and New Testament, and they had lots of questions, and they prisoners were writing letters, actually people from village writing letters too, to Bible Correspondence Course, and then they were answering their questions and sending them books, depends on what they're asking, beside New Testament. And Tim has been volunteering there last 9 years, every two days a week. He went there and he served there. And it's at least I could say half of the Turkish believers coming to Christ, coming through Bible Correspondence Course. So they, because it's easier, instead of like going to church, I mean, they don't know where the churches are, other than Catholic churches, like, you know, historical churches. They cannot get answer to their questions there. So it's easy right now. Everything is online, and they have so many people writing to them and asking questions. And so the purpose is reaching out to people and answer their questions and correspond with them, like as far as they can go, and then putting them into just contact with the closest church or with the closest believer. So that's what they do here. This is the office for Bible Correspondence Course. Okay. And shortly, National Youth Ministry, that started a few years ago, and Tim led the committee for about 4 years, and he handed over leading, but he is still in the committee. This is very, this is important also, the national, like, we have youth conferences once a year, maybe in Istanbul or in different cities, just maybe, not every year regularly. But this National Youth Ministry trains up the youth leaders, which is very important since we have very young population, and then most of the people coming to Christ are young people. It became a very important ministry. And then their purpose was just to start youth ministry in every churches, because every churches don't have youth ministry. And so anyway, they train up youth leaders, and they do seminars once a year for youth leaders or youth leader candidates. And then every 3 years, they hold conference for national conference, youth conference, which is again from 17 to 30 years old. And this gives many young people a very good opportunity to be encouraged, because in their cities, there are handful believers, just few young people. And then coming together like 300, 350 people, like, is really good encouragement for them. And all day worshiping together and sharing and hearing and teaching. So it's been very good. This picture is from the seminars, this one. And this picture is from the last conference, actually, 3 years ago. They're going to hold another conference this summer. And I don't know how much time we have, but just refugees and all over the places, as we know. But for sure, refugees, I have been volunteering since we came here this year at the World Relief. I don't know if you ever heard. World Relief is like working for the refugee people. They're training them, they're teaching them English, and they're picking up from the airport for the first time when they come. And then they put them in the houses, apartments, and they take care of everything. They teach the, how is the life here. And so anyway, I have been volunteering there since we came. And once a week I go there. And but I can tell you, like, refugees here and in Turkey are very different positions. Like refugees in Turkey are mostly in the tent camps and or on the streets if they want to, if they don't want to stay there. So just few faces. This lady helps them a lot in Antakya, Antioch, actually, in as you can know as an Antioch. And this is the tent camp in Antioch. But government even just wanted to stop them and stop them for helping refugees. They didn't want any Christian to help them. They didn't have water. They didn't have any blanket. I mean, they did have blanket, but it wasn't enough. And so they helped them a lot, and but yeah, for months government said no, you cannot go in there. But now it started again, just a little bit slowly. Yeah, these are the just few faces that I wanted to show you. So we can say harvest is plentiful, but laborers are few. This verse didn't fit in my mind years ago. I said, no, there's no harvest, like 7-8 years ago. Because I was thinking about harvest, like, okay, people will come to Christ, tens and hundreds of people will come and ask about Christ. No, there was no such a thing in Turkey. I said, there's no harvest. This verse really didn't fit in my mind. But after that, not long time after that, I say, yes, laborers are few. So maybe this is one of you. You can seek God and ask for guidance and leading. And maybe God wants you to be in other countries, or doesn't have to be. If it's not the one you, as Karen said, like, doesn't have to be the same way for everybody, but it's not the one that God is leading you to be in other country, then you can just open your eyes and seek and try to watch and see in the ones who are in doubt or close to fire, either non-believers or believers. So God really put these verses in my heart a few weeks ago from Jude 20 to 23. I thought, like, there's nothing to do with the theme of the conference. I'm like, no. No, but it was so heavy. My heart was so heavy. I said, okay, I will obey God, even though there's nothing to do with it. But I can see it now, today, when I was thinking about it. Did I make it wrong? Did I make a mistake? I was like, no, still, like, just there's a connection with today's theme, because we need to really need to be out of our comfort zone a little bit. It says, Jude 20 to 23, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of fire. And to others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. I'm sure here today, everyone is sincere believers. You read your Bible, you have your quiet time, you pray, you go to church and conferences and Bible studies. But it's very good. These are very necessary things. As of first two verses, we need to take care of ourselves first, right? We need to feed our spirit. These are good things to feed our spirit. So we can delight in God. And also, in times of trials and temptations, we can fix our eyes on Jesus. And there are things to get us closer to God and realize our heart, our sin, because even though we're sincere believers, we might be believers for years, still we are sinners most of the time. we have sin in our heart. So as we stay close to God, every day we see our heart and our sin and repent and change in the image of the God, in the image of God. That's why these two verses is very important for ourselves. But what do we do after feeding ourselves? Do we keep feeding ourselves and our family only and just say me, me, me? At the airplane, actually, there's a security announcement. We all know that, right? They say, put on your oxygen mask, then help others. So as first two verses, we need to put our oxygen mask first, okay? But then what do? We put it on, and then we sit down and watch. No, we shouldn't. We should help others, right? And it says, verse 22, have mercy on those who doubt. Show mercy is not only, I was thinking about it, it's, even though it's different cultures in Turkey and here, it's just this year I understood more like, but we're human. We have lots of common things, still lots of common problems even as a woman or as a man. So it's all same. I just realized it. Before I was thinking like, there's no, Americans don't have any problem. They have a good life. But this year I realized as I meet and, I mean, because first 2 years when I was in the States, like I was trying to, like I was just by myself most of the time and I was trying to learn English and also I was pouring my life to time to Bible and I was just by myself. I didn't have any, like hardly had American friends, but this year I was able to make lots of friends and I realized that, yeah, Americans have problems too. There's lots of things going on in their life. And but yeah, the way that we do is different. Culture is different. But anyway, showing mercy is like when I come to, like, I was just comparing all the time. What do we do? Like, and I realized, like, I was thinking about this verse, have mercy on those who doubt. Showing mercy is not only helping poor people, making meal for sick, and or sending gift at Christmas that we all do, right? And they're necessary. We need to do it. They're good things. But here, I think, as it says, like, have mercy on those who doubt, it's talking about spiritual life mostly to me. And people go to church, read their Bible, and sincere in their faith, but still, there could be times that they're in doubt or in sin. So how are we going to know about their sin and trials and temptations if we see them only on Sundays and chat them just a few minutes? How are we going to know about that? I'm not talking about your close friends for years in the church. I'm not talking about your small group in the church. Everybody has few people. They love each other. They love to talk to each other. But I'm talking about the ones who you don't know still. I'm talking about those kind of those people. So, and sometimes we might think that this is pastor's or elder's job, right? Okay, he will take care of it. He's here, he's full time, and I have busy, I have other things to do. But no, if we think that way, we're wrong. And because we're a body, right? We're all God's workmanship. And I heard, I read this in one of my devotional from the Solid Joy three weeks ago, and I loved it. It says, let us not forget that eternal security is a community project. I loved it. It is. It is a community project. Time to time, we could all be discouraged. I was discouraged. I wasn't discouraged, but I was super tired. I was burned out. I'm not talking about it too much, but just to encourage you, I needed someone to talk, you know, just not study Bible, but I need someone to cry. I needed someone to just listen and cry with me. Not that I have so much complain. No, I was just tired and I needed, we all have terms and times like that kind of times, right? So it doesn't matter what we're going, I mean, we might go through different things, but we all need this. So I would love to encourage you that you adopt at least one or two person. Doesn't matter. I'm sure most of you are serving different ways. Some of you are women teaching to women. Some of you are maybe teachers in Sunday school. Some of you might be doing dishes and making meals. Doesn't matter, but still, these are good things. We need to do that. But at the same time, plus, all of us need according to me, I might be wrong, adopt someone, okay? Just adopt someone, just one or two people, and meet them regularly, not just at church, and someone that you don't know, actually, not your close friends, to have fun and enjoy your time, but someone you don't know, and just encourage them and listen to them and navigate them to with God's words. And maybe they're good there. You're not, I mean, unexpectedly, maybe you didn't think about them being that mature. Maybe they're really mature in faith and they're strong. Then you can encourage them to disciple other people. And it says, Okay. I'm going to go real quick. Save others by snatching them out of fire. That's also how we can do it, right? Save others by snatching them out of fire. That's something that we need to do. We need to be really fast, right? But to be able to, in that position, we need to be there in their life. We need to know about that. We need to know about them. Let me tell you, maybe not here, but I heard many leaders talking about that too on the radio, with the radio, as I'm listening. And those people could be non-believers, but at the same time, believers in the church also. They could be in the fire. They need to be snatched out. So how are we going to know that if they're in the fire, if we don't know them, if we don't have any relationship with them? They don't open up, right? I don't know. In Turkey, they don't open up right away. They don't talk about their struggles and sin and fires. So I would say, as long as there's no explosive material, fire grows slowly, very slowly. So when this fire is small, we might not notice how dangerous it could be because of the Satan's efforts, and thus we might not feel any need to ask help. However, if there's someone in my life there, ready for a long time and had invested in my life, I can open up and I can talk about this little spark to them when it's time. I might not still notice that it's something bad, but I can talk to them and then they can warn me, look, this is a little spark, you're in danger. So they can talk to me about it, and they can navigate me with God's words. And at the same time, I'm going to jump real quick. I had more things, but the last word says, to others show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. I was first reading English, show mercy with fear? What? Hastating, showing mercy? No, it's about living with fear of God, so we're not going to be influenced for the evil by the people who we are trying to restore. And Jesus wants us to see in this world, right? He prayed, Father, he said in John 17, Father, I do not ask that you take them out of this world, but you keep them from the evil one. And the 18 says, he says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And he wants us to stay here, but be aware of the evil. So I heard that at the Moody radio again this week. They were talking about, in America every year, 4,000 churches are opening and 7,000 churches are closing. So where are the laborers? What is laboring? When I'm thinking about that, in English you say, when woman about to give birth, you say she's in labor, right? Is it something that enjoyable time? I never had the experience that I had C-section, but I know that it's not enjoyable. So laboring is hard. It's not always comfortable. It's not about us only are my gift. It's not about only, I cannot do that. I don't have energy or time for it, which I was brain too sometimes, but we need to always fix our eyes on Jesus and say, okay, God, help me. Okay, even though I don't feel like I can do this, even though I don't feel like it's natural to me, God, help me. If you want to use me, just God, help me. So I want to just leave you. I would say I had experienced this. I know culture is different, but I would say, if someone is telling you about what they're going through in two sentences on Sunday or wherever outside on this grocery, don't just say, I know, or I'm sorry, and close the subject, please, I would say, but call them back and listen. You might not have time right there at this spot, but just call them back and just show them love and take, like, show them that you care for them, you care for their life. And I'm going to close with this verse. Romans 15:1 says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So I just want to encourage you. I wasn't here to preach. I wasn't here to teach you. But God really put it in my heart, and I wanted to encourage you by these words. Thank you for listening.
You hear me? Oh, now you can. Just want to thank you, Arian, and bring you before the Lord, and Tim, your husband, as well. Dear Lord, we do thank you so much for the time we've had today, that we can come and learn more about you and your work with the folks in Turkey, the people of Turkey. We thank you for the what I consider a unique journey that Arian had to find you, and how that really allows her to be a special worker for you in Turkey. She understands the Turkish people. She was raised there. She understands the Muslim faith and how she journeyed away from that and into a believing relationship with you. And we thank you for that and the uniqueness that that gives her to be able to work with your people in Turkey. I thank you for her meeting with Tim and her marriage with Tim and the unique way that they work together for you in Turkey. We want to think of the youth ministry and something that I learned today, the fact that so many of the believers that come to you are young people. And so that makes the youth ministry in Turkey a very important part of their ministry, not only in their church, but also we thank you for the National Conference of Youth Ministries that trains up people to work specifically with the young people there. We thank you for the women's ministry that they work with. We heard about, I think Daria is her name, and her husband, and how he was resistant at first, but to allow her to meet with Arian. But we thank you for the fact that he's had a change of heart, and we really bring him before you, Lord. Would you please save him? Make him a part of your ministry to the folks in Turkey. We thank you for the house meetings that are held.